pursued by her because she was disturbed to succeed a woman's man. Another woman called Beautiful. She lost herself in the animal stable and committed self-immolation. Later, her family found nothing except her bones. And many more examples like this, like Amina, Rahila, Rahima, that every one of them have a tragedy story that to tell you, I believe that you will cry. And according to UNIFEM survey, 65% of the 50,000 Bedouins in Kabul and thousands of women all over Afghanistan, they see suicide as the only option to get rid of their miseries and disillusion. And over 95% Afghan women today, they suffer from depression. And every 28 minutes, a woman dies in Afghanistan during childbirth. And the life expectancy today for Afghan women is only 45 years. And according to survey data, today more than 80% marriages are forced in Afghanistan. In the areas that the commanders of the Nord Alliance, they are in power with suit and tie in the foreign provinces. Same like Taliban, they are kidnapping young women and girls and they are raping them. For example, one shocking news is the 11-year-old Sanawar, that maybe through media also you hear that in many interviews that I did here. Once again, I'm telling that it's in this situation that US is talking about women's rights in Afghanistan. This 11-year-old girl in Kunduz province, she has been kidnapped, then raped, then exchanged for a dog. But unfortunately, no media is giving this kind of shocking news to the world, to the people around the world. And many examples like this. In this situation, that how much education is important for the women and girls, for all of the people of our country. In the faraway provinces, Taliban, they are burning their schools. And the government has no control outside of Kabul. And also, according to Oxfam survey, just 1 in 5 girls in primary education and 1 in 20 in secondary school are enrolled. 200,000 children in the areas under the control of the Taliban are completely deprived of education. And also for activist women, social activist women who dare to work outside of their houses, and also they have access to job like this. Unfortunately, they threatened and also has been killed. For example, Shikiba Sangamaj was 22-year-old journalist recently in Kabul, has been killed in her house at night. Zaki was 35-year-old journalist, local radio journalist in Parwan province, in front of her children, has been killed. Safiya Majan was a social activist woman in Kandahar province. When she wanted to go in a day, wanted to go from her house to office during the way, she has been killed. Also, Shaima Reza in Nadia Anjuman in Herat was a great poet, that she has been killed. This list can be prolonged, that activist woman in Afghanistan, they has been killed. And also the Western media always they tries to trumpet that it was the US involvement in Afghanistan that brought the women's rights in Afghanistan, or that this kind of rights that which never exercised in the history of Afghanistan. But I want to tell you, it's also a false statement and just a lie. Let me to read the report of the New York Times, which has been published on November 8, 1959. Afghan women left the field. A new world of freedom, spiritual as well as territorial, has been opened to the women of this Muslim nation after centuries of seclusion. Before then, 25 years war in Afghanistan, the women of Afghanistan, they dared to go outside, they had job and without male relatives, they went outside, and also like Western countries, they wear modern clothes as they wished without a scarf, and there was nobody to do crime against them, first of all, under the name of Islam. But unfortunately, after when Russia attacked Afghanistan, this is more than 25 years that the women of Afghanistan and the girls, they are the most victims. And we remember that in the past, even the women, when they went outside to work and have job like this, without a scarf, These fascist people that today they control Afghanistan with the mask of democracy, they put acids on the face of our women. Just why they went out without the veil like this. You know, so I think after 6 years, it's a big stigma for head of U.S. and realize that today Afghanistan is one of the biggest producers of the opium. According to UN, Afghanistan produced 93% of the world opium, which easily finds its way even to the streets of New York. And also, the Mail wrote on July 21, 2007, the four largest players in the heroin businesses are all senior members of the Afghan government. Today, these warlords, drug lords, and these criminals, unfortunately, they have high posts in Afghanistan. Some of them are ambassadors, some of them are governor, MP, commanders, ministers, and they control Afghanistan, and our people, they are like hostage in the hands of them. So in such circumstances, when enemies of our people, they are in power, definitely the life for our people is like torture, especially for the women and children of our country, that they fed up from this situation, and also from this opportunity that people do not support this corrupt warlord, non-democratic government, Taliban. Also, day by day become powerful. On another hand, neighbor countries like Iran, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Russia, etc. also make use from this situation. And one hand support Taliban, and another hand these Northern lands because of their own policy that they have. And also during the war, they had black and bloody hands in the history of Afghanistan, and still they have their own puppets in Afghanistan. And also Taliban, they also continue their fascism in the eastern parts of Afghanistan. For example, 23 Korean journalists who has been kidnapped in Afghanistan. I think it's enough to know how much Taliban day by day they become powerful in Afghanistan. And once again, these dark-minded, dirty elements, they got $20 million US dollars that these journalists, 23 hostage, Korean hostage, they has been released. Of course, these money, these criminals, these Taliban, they will use against our innocent people, no one else, and they continue more to their terrorist activities. And also, Afghanistan received billions of dollars this 6 years. Our people, they believe that if we had democratic government, at least was not corrupt government, it was possible from that much money that government of Afghanistan received built two Afghanistan instead of one Afghanistan. But today, it suffers to tell you that only 2% people of Afghanistan, they have access to electricity. And also, according official figure, more than 60% Afghans live below the poverty line today. And also more than 40% people of Afghanistan are today, they are jobless. They are going in the neighbor countries like Iran, Pakistan. But they are also the government of these countries, unfortunately. They are killing our refugees there. And they take out them back from their country. And recently news, maybe through media, through BBC, you hear that in this winter that people, even because of the cold weather, they are dying. Most of them in the faraway provinces that you see, even in Kabul, that they are living under the tent in winter, in very cold weather, and some of them are dying, as last year that they has been died. So if they returned in Afghanistan in a very bad condition with that kind of government, that how much security is important, which is more than food and water for our people, of course they are also the victim. You know, so the Afghan government is the most corrupt and unpopular in the world. In a March 2007 survey conducted by Integrity Watch Afghanistan, it was revealed that about 60% of Afghan state's current administration is more corrupt than any other in the past 2 decades. Only our people are not saying, all of these are surveys that I'm telling you that unfortunately, this is the policy of the U.S. and its allies that they try to put the dust on the eyes of the people around the world. And first of all, this is the policy of the U.S. that they want to keep the situation of Afghanistan like this in danger as long as its own regional interests are met in our country. But today, tonight I'm here in front of you to leave the message of our people to you people, to great people of Canada, to your government, which unfortunately the 6 years they followed the footsteps of the US, which was wrong policy, which was the mockery of democracy and mockery of war on terror. And I'm here to tell you that please pressure on your government if really they want to prove themselves as real and honest friend for Afghan people. First of all, they must act independently. As I said, they must not follow the wrong policy of the US. And then, they must support the freedom-loving, democratic people, parties, individuals, and also democratic NGOs in Afghanistan, that today they are very weak in Afghanistan. And even they receive threats today, and even the democratic parties, they are not able to publish their magazines. On another hand, there is no honest job for freedom-loving people in our country. And no question that Afghanistan needs international support to get rid to get into the track and rebuild itself. But it never means that we want occupation. We don't want occupation. Today our country has been occupied. Under the name of bringing security, even they sacrificed our liberation. And Afghans have a long history of opposing foreign invasion. And history showed, as I said many times, that no nation can donate liberation to another nation. And this is the responsibility of our own people to bring values like democracy. Values like democracy, human rights in our country. But at this moment that our people, they are like sandwiched between two powerful enemies. On one hand, pro-US terrorists, these North Alliance fundamentalists, and on another hand, anti-US terrorists, these Taliban. Of course, at this moment, we need the helping hand of the international community. First of all, the freedom-loving, democratic people around the world, that they must give us helping hand. And also, foreign invasion is not a solution for disastrous situation of Afghanistan. A long-lasting and permanent peace can be achieved through the efforts of our own people, even if it will require a longer time. So at this kind of situation, as I said, that our people, they are between two powerful enemies. The international community, if really they want to be honest for Afghan people, they must, together with you, and they must pressure and stop countries like Iran, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, etc. As I said earlier, they make use from the situation, support Taliban and another hand, these North Alliance fundamentalists in our country. Many Afghans, they are thinking that this is the policy of the US, that as I said earlier, they don't want to come, first of all, security in our country. They want to make a kind of excuse to stay longer in Afghanistan. In another hand, it was that during the Cold War that they poured billions of dollars in the pocket of the fascist Islamist fundamentalists in Afghanistan, that who committed many crimes under the name of Islam and jihad against our people, and still they use the Islam against our people. That's why they are free from secularism. Today, even in Afghanistan, if they talk about secularism, they are saying infidel communists. And it's not easy for democratic-minded people here if they say we are secular. Because these fundamentalists, they understand if we have secular government, of course, they are not able to continue to get fascism under the name of Islam against our people, first of all, women. And also, who created Taliban? Who destroyed the domination of Taliban? And why, once again, after the domination of Taliban brought in power, these North Alliance, they come in power? U.S. Iran, just because of its own strategy, policy. That's why our people are saying that this 6 years, this policy was wrong in Afghanistan. And the reason that the international community, the US and its allies, they were not successful in Afghanistan was this, that because they start the fighting against terrorism with the support of another bunch of terrorists like North Alliance. That's why they were not successful in Afghanistan. And it's ridiculous for a superpower country that they are not able to destroy and to make powerless the terrorist people like Taliban or these North Alliance. And that's why our people are saying if these troops didn't pull out voluntarily from Afghanistan, in a coming future they may face resistance from people of Afghanistan. And right now anti-US sentiments are high among people. I want to tell you that today the Faro province is in a very bad condition of security. We are looking that every day is a bomb suicide happening in Afghanistan. At least recently also a bomb suicide that happened. Most of our innocent people, even children, they has been killed. Today people in this very bad condition of security, they are going outside, they do demonstration against this non-democratic warlord, drug lord government, and also against foreign troops. Because day by day they become hopeless. And these foreign troops, they are doing bombing in some cities that we are killing Taliban, but instead of Taliban, most of innocent people they has been killing. And also those people who has been killed in Afghanistan, when you compare with the period of Taliban, those people who after 9/11 tragedy has been killed, they are much more than Taliban period. And also those people, innocent people has been killed in Afghanistan after 9/11 tragedy. When you compare with those innocent people of US who has been killed in 9/11 tragedy, 5 times there are more. That's why we are saying with the support of the terrorist people, brother in creed of Taliban, these Northern Alliance, it's not possible to bring, first of all, security in our country. Once again, I stress on my comments that as long as the fundamentalist Northern Alliance will be in power with truth and time, there is no hope to come positive changes in the life of the men and women of our country. I have a lot to tell you. Now I let you to have your questions. I'm ready to answer. But at the end, I want to tell you the quote of Brecht, a freedom-loving person like Brecht. Brecht is saying that those who do struggle may fail, but those who do not do struggle has already failed. Thank you very much.
Just before we go to questions, question and answer, I'm just going to announce a few upcoming events. One of which is happening tomorrow is actually a peace vigil, which is organized by the Nova Scotia Voice of Women for Peace, and that's actually taking place at the Spring Garden Library tomorrow at noon. It's a white poppy vigil, and you can find white poppies on the table there. The other event is a Lloyd Shaw Lecture on Public Affairs, which is on November 22nd, with Carolyn McCaskey, the UN Assistant Secretary General for Peacebuilding Support, and she'll be speaking at 7:30 on November 22nd at the Lecture Hall in Ondaatje Hall in the UK, so basically here. So for the question and answer, we're basically going to employ the services of Mr. Salam Nizad here, who's going to help with translation. I'll ask people to try and keep things to questions as much as possible, more so than statements. But we are here for basically another 45 minutes, so we'll try and fit in as many questions as possible.
I think you need to say something about what
you want. Right. You might also notice that there's a letter addressed to Peter McKay in front of you all. We are asking that Peter McKay publicly support the calls for Malalai's reinstatement within the Loya Jirga. There have been a number of other politicians from other countries who've done the same, who've spoken out publicly. More than 10 German parliamentarians have publicly sent letters to Karzai demanding her reinstatement. We're asking Canadian officials, especially those that profess to support women's rights so much, to do no less. So we'll just go to questions. Please. Sure, you can turn them in, I guess, just up at the door at the SCA table there, or just leave them in front of you. We'll be gathering them up at the end of the evening.
What's Article 7 say?
Before to answer your question, I want to...
The question was, what did Article 70 say? Article 70 was the supposed article under which Malalai was violated.
Before to answer your question, I want to say, maybe it will be question for you also, that why I want to go to that kind of parliament, that more than 80% members of the parliament are warlords, drug lords and criminals, even Human Rights Watch reported. And also it was completely like torture for me that later, if I find time, I want to share with you some of our memories that how many times they insulted, how many times they treated to death. And even when inside of parliament, they tried to wreck on 7th of May last year. So you should guess that which kind of parliament we have. And anyway, today they have mask of democracy and they are in parliament, and even they use the democracy as majority and minority, that saying minority have to obey the majority. So unfortunately, majority are not real representative. So as they wish, they do in parliament. Because when entire nation is living under the shadow of gun warlords and drug lords, and how it is possible to have democratic election? They use guns, they did cheating, they had foreign support, they controlled Afghanistan, they spent lots of money, and they had US support. That's why they found faith in our national house. Democratic MPs, there are very less, few men and women that they are real representatives. But they are weak because they are less, as I said. And I want to go back to this parliament, even if it's too much risky, just to continue to my struggle on behalf of our people in their own house, to tear their mask in their own house. That's the reason that I want to go. And another thing about your question that you said about one part of the Constitution about this issue. First of all, that we are saying this is an illegal act, the reason is this is not the constitution, this is not the duty of the parliament, this is the duty of the Supreme Court, that they expel from parliament or not, but under the name of suspension, they expel me from parliament, but for suspension in constitution only was one day, or at least 2 days for elected MP. That's why we are saying this is an illegal act. On another hand, this is a clear example of anti-freedom of speech. Because I want to tell you that now they suspend me. For example, they are saying suspend. From the beginning of parliament, I was suspended. Because every time I want to talk and I'm telling the truth, they turn off microphone, they treat me to death, and they are saying you are infidel, you are communist, like this. And one example I want to tell you about this parliament, that what I said and what they did. For example, one MP, his name is Piramkul. He killed two innocent child, one was 7 years old, another was 6 years old. They put this cruel man, commanders of this cruel MP, they put this two innocent child in a pocket which made by clothes thrown in the river. And after a few days, the people, when they find the dead bodies of these two innocent child, they had a very big demonstration, that which was one of the biggest demonstrations in Afghanistan, in Rostov district, one of the big districts of Tahar province. No, who will listen their voice? Finally, this dad took the picture of the sons and made some human rights activists, some Democrat MPs, some minister like this. And finally made President Karzai. And you know what was the answer of Karzai? You can read this article. This was a time when England journalist was there in the same time. And she was a journalist with a photographer. They came for 1 week. They followed my activities in Kabul, meeting with people like this, because of the report. And this was the time they made this stat. You know, finally, this dad found way to presidential palace, met with Ahmed Karzai, our so-called president, and said about this tragedy that this cruel man, this Piramkul, who is MP, killed my two innocent child, and crying, this man. But instead of Karzai say something like to, first of all, there is no justice to say something against this this criminal MP. He is saying, no matter, you can make more children, you are young. So this is the answer for this innocent man. And before to go there, once before of this process, he met me when I was in parliament. He told me this tragedy, this story, with the groups of people of Tahar. But in parliament, I'm saying that you are talking about the law. Let's talk
country that still today they are killing our children. Why this people could kill their two innocent child? They turn off microphone and do not let me to talk. They are saying you are infidel, you are communist, you are anti-mujahideen. And saying, talk about your province, not about other provinces, about other people. This is the answer to me. Another MP has name is Sayed. He is one of the wanted criminals by Human Rights Watch. And he is the leader of one of the fundamentalist party. Four times people, they did demonstration against this man. Three times in the province. In Padmon province, they burned the picture of this man and threw the stone to this picture of this cruel man, ignorant man. And because of he seized and captured the lands of the people by force. The commanders of this man killed people, shed the blood of them during the demonstration, and some of them has been kidnapped because they have personal jails. Anyway, the last time, the fourth time they had demonstration, the back of the door of the parliament. They are asking for their rights, for their lands, but nobody listened to their voice. Inside the parliament, no one is talking about this. Finally, I got chance, and when I thought about this, I said, today, this cruel man that who sees the lands of our people, in the mind and hearts of our people, they has been faced to the court. But tomorrow, our people will physically face them to the court. You are looking, they burn the picture of this man and threw the stone like this. I said, now they have demonstration in the back of the door of parliament. Let's to listen to their voice instead of working on this kind of law, which is on the paper. Once again, they turn off microphone and they are shouting against me and threaten me to death. Instead of himself, sir, beat her a few times with a knife, after that she will know who are Mujahideen. That's why we are saying they use the name of our Mujahideen, because most of people of Afghanistan, they fight it against Russia because of freedom of our country. They are real Mujahideen. But after that, when Russia and their puppets, which we are saying, Khalki and Parchami, that they are also criminals in the mind of our people because they kill lots of democratic-minded people of Afghanistan. Anyway, these non-real Mujahideen was the leaders of these fundamentalist parties like Sayyaf, Rabbani, Kanuni, Fahim, Dostum, Ismail Khan. Their commanders like Haji Farid, Haji Almas, and this list can be prolonged. Kanuni, and today Piramkul, another criminal man, puppet of Russia like Gulabzui, Ulumi. Today they have high post and they control Afghanistan without to face to any court. Our people, it looks like daydreams for them that they must face to the national and international court. And this is our parliament. Many examples like this I have tonight. We don't have much time to tell you. At least this recent act of the parliament is a clear example of non-democratic parliament. And they want to face me to the court. They said, we want to face you to the court. I said, which kind of court? There is no justice. I challenged them that I will face to a court. There will be international observers, human rights defenders, and also at least, first of all, there will be justice. And I'm happy that today you don't want to face me to the court as a warlord, as a drug lord, as a criminal. And they are saying, if I said apologize, I can go back. No need to say apologize for telling the truth. They must say apologize to us because they committed many crimes.
Just a word about format. Anyone who has questions, please line up in front of the mics on the right and left sides. This lady goes first.
Thank you. Thank you for your excellent talk. It's very moving actually to hear a personal experience. And I also appreciate your suggestions for Canada's role in Afghanistan and the suggestions that you made about not following the U.S. But I do hesitate to sign petitions, and there's one up at the top of the room, that say that Canada should immediately pull out of Afghanistan. And I sort of want to get your ideas on what will happen if Canada does decide to pull out. Like, what would be the situation for women in the country then?
As I said during my speech, that if the foreign troops go out from Afghanistan at this moment, that people there are between two powerful enemies, Taliban and also North Alliance fundamentalists, it is no question that civil war will start in Afghanistan. Because as I said a little bit about the background of these North Alliance, that were mentally same like Taliban, and not only in the past they they committed crimes. Still, they are going to continue to their crimes under the name of this kind of caricature of democracy. Anyway, but now my request on behalf of my people is this, that at this moment, our people, they need to the helping hand of the freedom-loving democratic people around the world, especially in Canada, that your government, you are looking that the 6 years they followed the footpath of the US, which they occupied our country. It's true that they are saying we don't want occupation. We also don't want occupation. And as Franklin is saying that Franklin is saying those who sacrifice liberation for security, they neither deserve security nor liberation. And US did this in Afghanistan. And we are saying, my request is this, let's to do something that to the minimize of the happening of civil war will be less. Means, I hope you understand how to tell you in English. The possibility of the civil war become minimized. My request is this, that first of all, you should pressure on your government to act independently. At least after 6 years also, it's not too late. If they give us really helping hand and support the democratic-minded people parties in our country. In another thing, together with UN, they must pressure on countries and stop countries like Iran, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, etc. They make use from the situation, support both enemies of our people, tested enemies in our country. And through this way, should be slowly, these North Alliance and also Taliban become powerless. And if democratic-minded people slowly come in power, and then we want that the troops, as soon as possible, they must go out from Afghanistan. We only don't want the withdrawal of the troops from Afghanistan. At the same time, we want to be powerless, these North Alliance and also Taliban. So let's to think how we can make them powerless. This is not the answer that I say yes or no. It's difficult for me as an Afghan that I'm looking every day is a tragedy in Afghanistan. At least this shocking news that was one of the biggest bomb suicide that lots of Afghans, most of them innocent people, has been killed. Today, even in the period of Shah, they didn't brought children for welcoming some politician. But now, you are looking that they brought children from schools, not from their houses. I'm sure their parents didn't let them to go in a very bad condition of security. And for welcoming who? Dirty-minded people like most of these warlord MPs? What they did for the people? Why they are bringing children if the people really support them? That much people will come that no need for children to come. And who become victim? Most of these children. Is it easy for us? Many questions like this, my sister. This is the situation of Afghanistan. Once again, I'm telling that, please, the responsibility of the freedom-loving democratic people is a lot. As I'm telling to democratic people of Afghanistan, that the silence of good people is more worse than the action of bad people. Let's hear also, especially those people who are politicians and who are, some of them are MP in these countries, some of them are ministers, some of them are leaders of democratic parties. They must not sit silent and raise their voice against the strong policy and dirty policy of Canada, who follow the footpath of the US, the dirty policy of US. That's why we are saying these troops are going in Afghanistan. First of all, they serve US, then the people of Afghanistan. And also from this opportunity, I want to send my condolence on behalf of my people to those soldiers who has been killed in Afghanistan, Canada soldiers, more than 70% of them. Every one of them, I'm sure they have family, they have mom, they have dad, they have wife, they have babies, they have children. And as an Afghan, suffer Afghan, we can understand very well how much it is suffering, and it's not easy. Because not only we lost our dears, our brothers, our sisters in the past, and still they are killing our people, these fascist people. So I'm sending my condolences and I'm telling them, please do not sit silent. Raise your voice against the strong policy of your government and join your hands with freedom-loving democratic people, parties in Afghanistan, individuals who are able to fight against these fundamentalists. And they are the future of Afghanistan.
First of all, I just want to say thank you very much. You're an inspiration to people like myself, and because of people like you, you allow me to be the fearless advocate for social justice that I am. Thank you very much. I want to talk about what's going on in Pakistan with the suspension of civil liberties, with the suspension of the Constitution, and how Musharraf says it is about attacking extremism, when in actuality, if you look over the past 5 or 6 years with structural adjustment programs, such as privatization of state-run industries, you've been seeing the working class getting more angry and more militant. And what's actually happening is that Musharraf is actually using that excuse to actually attack the working class, while the extremists in northern Waziristan have the free rein to build their forces up. And we all know what they're going to do. They're going to go across the border over to Afghanistan to fight with the Taliban. And I believe this is what the occupiers want. You know, if you look at this Straussian ideology that's inherent within neoliberalism, you will see that the neoliberals want to create, they want to create it. So basically what I'm saying is we need a third solution.
Let him talk.
Just wait, let me preclude my question. We need a third solution. Nobody has been suggesting such a thing as what happened in Spain in 1936 when the same kind of situation arose. What about an international brigade where people who are committed revolutionaries can go and fight side by side with the Afghanis to truly liberate Afghanistan from the Taliban, from the Northern Alliance, and from the occupiers?
What's the question?
Yeah, that was not right.
Open your minds.
I want to say something about the recent act of the government of Pakistan, which is completely a dictatorial act, which is completely anti-democracy act. And of course, I, as a freedom-loving person, I condemn this act. In another hand, the president of Pakistan is same like photocopy of the president of Afghanistan, as U.S. wish to do. It's clear, and this is non-democratic government, and now you should ask from the ordinary people of Pakistan, as I had close contact with them during the refugee camps that I was during. They still that sometimes I'm going there and I have two different reasons. Anyway, I have contact with freedom-loving people of Pakistan. I met some of them in different conferences around the world that what they are thinking about their government. And at least I want to tell you it's enough to know that that recent act of the Pakistan, that which kind of government they have. And also, it's true that Pakistan in the past, they have black and bloody hands in the history of Afghanistan, and still they have. For example, when U.S. created Taliban, the foundation of Taliban was in the religious schools of Pakistan there. And still they are supporting Taliban. Even we remember during the Taliban period, that was some Pakistani Taliban that they couldn't speak Persian. They talked Urdu. And of course, many examples like this. Anyway, one Pakistani writer, great writer, freedom-loving writer, his name is Ahmad Rashid. He wrote very clear book, very wonderful book, that when he was in the period of Taliban in Afghanistan, maybe you know about Ahmad Rashid, and you should read this book. But I want to tell you, all these nations, people are separate from the government, especially they are separate from the dirty policymakers. We are proud that we have great supporters, freedom-loving people of Pakistan. During refugees, I have many good memories from them. And still, I have contact with some of them. Also, ordinary people of Pakistan, they are great, same like US. In US 3 times that I went, freedom-loving, democratic men and women of US, they do strong support. Even I met some mom in US that they lost their sons in Afghanistan as a soldier. They hugged me and they cried and they kissed. They said, Julia, you are right. Day by day, we know the policy of our government is wrong policy, at least situation of Afghanistan and Iraq proved this claim. But the problem is this, that always in these countries, especially in countries like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, the government of Iran is also a fascist government. You should ask from the people of Iran today, you know what is going on in the jail of Iran? The people put the name of the jail. jail of Iran, which is very famous like Oi. They are saying this is the University of Oi. Because most of the students from university, freedom-loving fighters, are here and they are killing them. They are hanging them, very young generation today. Today. And also many violence that they do against women under the name of Islam, same like Afghanistan. In Palestine, what is going on? In Burma today, what is going on? Etc.
I have a quick question. You mentioned hugs. Could I give you a hug?
No, every one of you, with your support, you put extra responsibility on my shoulders to continue to my struggle on behalf of men and women of our country against the fundamentals. I'm short of words to express my heartfelt thanks. Thank you.
I guess I would first like to say thank you for allowing your voice to be heard sort of beyond the borders of Afghanistan. The reason I wanted to come here tonight was to hear a sort of a different story, right, than maybe the ones that we hear, right? And I know there are, you know, different folks out there that are presenting a different story. So my question is related to one of these sort of material books that I've been reading. And it talks about the women that are being held in prisons in Afghanistan. So that's what I guess I was wondering. And I have tried to address this with our government with no response. So I guess my question is, are there women being held in prisons in Afghanistan? If so, what are the, you know, I guess one of the information is that they're being held for quote-unquote moral crimes. And that they really do not have access to sort of a justice system within Afghanistan, and I just want to get your comments on that.
قانون اساسی. Yeah, in our constitution we have a right for the woman. Today the problem is this, that even this constitution have a little bit some, as we wish to be improvement law. It's not some mistake it has, but anyway, the most part of constitution is the best. But if we put this constitution in practice, the situation will improve, not only the situation, especially for the woman. But the problem is this, today constitution is like a beautiful things. In the shelf of, first of all, in the shelf of our president, then in the shelf of these fundamentalist MPs to deceive people around the world. This is the problem. Today in Afghanistan, every law is on the paper. And there we have gender law. For example, let me to give you one example of the parliament about the woman law that you asked on constitution. On constitution, we have 18 year old this legal law for a woman that, and young girls that who want to get married like this, or if someone committed crimes, sorry, they must go to jail like this. This kind of law, legal law we have. But these fundamentalists, you know what they did? About 3 days, 4 days like this, they discussed about this law and they want to change it, and they use the name of Islam. They are saying, some of them are saying, no, 15 years old is good age for women. Some of them are saying, no, 14 years old is good age because of Islam. Some of them are saying, no, 16 years old. Finally, they voted for 16 years old like this, and they used Islam. Because as I told you, majority belongs to this kind of people that first of all, they use Islam against our people, and especially women. So human rights defenders, human rights organizations, also they are saying 18. Some Democrat newspapers, some Democrat websites, and some Democrat journalists, they raise their voice, and some Democrat MP against this law. But who will listen? They are the voice. And it was easy for them, they changed. And today the problem of the women of Afghanistan, men and women, it's not with Islam. The problem of the people is with the Islam of Sayyaf, Islam of Mullah Omar, Islam of Rabbani, Islam of today these puppets of Russia who call themselves communists. Today they also try to act of these fundamentalists, and which is not real Muslim. And today the problem of our people is with this kind of Islam, of these dirty-minded people that who themselves are shame for Islam. In the period of Taliban, they had a dirty office that they got it, and the name of office was Vice and Virtue Department. Taliban said that this is the office that guide people, especially women, to Islam. Today, no need to say about Taliban. Fortunately, today they know about Taliban, but this Catholic government, also they are working on this mission. They want to make this dirty office, which is no need to guide the people. As I said, those themselves, they are shame for Islam.
Can I just ask a quick follow-up?
And also about the, another part of your question was what? Sorry.
We're going to actually try and keep it moving, so I'm just asking if you would like to get it lined up. You have the
I want to tell you that those women who, for example, they are in jail. We got reports some MPs, they went in the jail. Unfortunately, I wanted to go, but because of security reasons, I didn't become able to go there. Even we have some women in jail that they has been raped, and they become pregnant there. Who defends them? We have some women there that their children also in a very bad condition of life. Even many times they did
strike. Basically, what she's saying is that some women have gone on a strike in the present because
men and women in jail.
Men and women in jail.
Yeah, because of bad condition of jail. And even the head of the jail said, yeah, it's true, the government didn't take care of this like this. And also they did like demonstration anyway, but for women, everything I told you, my brother, it's on the law. Law is on the paper. Every law is on the paper. For me, today it's too difficult to find a lawyer, at least because of this illegal act of the parliament. Because they were killed there. And killing of women is like a bird. Now the Anjuman has been killed by her husband, and now her husband is free. For this non-democratic, anti-woman, corrupt government, it's enough. When they kill women or they do crime against women, first of all, they have links with these warlords that who have high posts, it's easy, they become free. In another hand, they are paying money, then they are free. One example like this. Let's go to the Pulcherry jail in Kabul once. You can see what's going on there.
The order was this woman first and then this gentleman.
Hi, as an older generation, as Afghan women, we are really proud of you and that you are trying to pass the message, Afghan women's message to all the world. That's the first. Second of all, as an older generation, I was just wondering if you have a concrete suggestion for withdrawal of the troops from Afghanistan, because after 30 years of war, the Afghan people, they are not in a position to defend themselves. And I'm really afraid if there is no military interference from international community, that Afghanistan will turn again into a house or a place for terrorists or Al-Qaeda, Taliban, and so on and so on. And do you have any concrete suggestion for the international community? In what ways they can help that the democratic parties in Afghanistan, and at the same time they can help, they can prevent coming back the terrorists or Al-Qaeda members in Afghanistan. And at the end I want to just say, as an Afghan Canadian, I don't think every life, Canadian life lost in Afghanistan, it's a waste. They defend Afghan people, the people that they are not able to defend of themselves. Yeah. I don't think if it's a waste. And Canadian policy, it's not a dirty policy. I don't think, it's my opinion. You are meeting two Afghan, two different generations with two different point of views. I was witness so many criminal activities in Afghanistan, and I escaped with my family. Like me, millions of Afghans was escaped from Afghanistan just to find a safe place. And today, if Canadian government agrees to go and help 32 million Afghan people who are suffering for 35 years old, it's not a crime and it's not a dirty policy. They are just helping a bunch of people that they are not able to defend themselves. There is no military, there is no structure. The government of Afghanistan is corrupt. And I think no need for us to think that Canadian policy is a dirty policy.
Yeah, let me to describe, please, my sister. Yeah, before to say my concrete request, as I said many times before, once again I'm telling no matter, but I want to tell you that about dirty policy before then. As I said earlier, that even I said about US, about Pakistan, that nations always people are separate from the government. And also about Canada, not only I said about the people, great people of Canada, even about the soldiers, I said that they are also the victim. They are the victim of the wrong policy of their government. Not the victim, that's why they are going to Afghanistan. I think they are the victim because they are going to Afghanistan. Because of the wrong policy of their government, I said. At least in Afghanistan, not in Afghanistan, Iraq situation also. It's another example. Anyway, I want to tell you the policy of the Canada, which the 6 years they followed the footpath of the US was wrong. And if they continue this wrong policy, one day all of our people, they will stand up against this wrong policy. As I said that today they are doing demonstration. Most of these people, they don't have education. They do demonstration against not only government, against the foreign role of the foreign troops, my sister. They are doing bomb suicide, as I said. The innocent people has been killing, or not, why? After 6 years, Taliban day by day become powerful if they were succeed in Afghanistan. That's why their fight was not succeed in Afghanistan, because they start fighting against terrorist people like Taliban with support of another bunch of terrorists like Northerners. My message, my request on behalf of Afghan sisters and brothers is this, that please, stop this wrong policy. If Canada government want to prove themselves as honest friend for Afghan people, please act independently. As I said through my speech, and this is the responsibility of freedom-loving people of Canada, great people of Canada, men and women, human rights organizations of Canada, anti-war organizations of Canada, that they must pressure on their government to not only to stop the follow the policy of the US, this wrong policy, they must support the freedom-loving, democratic-minded people of Afghanistan. They are saying negotiate with Taliban. So the copy of Taliban are in power. What they did? What they are not saying? Let's negotiate with democratic-minded people, parties in Afghanistan, democratic individuals of Afghanistan. Let's do, we should work on this kind of issue, that to make a kind said that we don't accept occupation. As the U.S. was superpower country like, sorry, Russia was superpower country like U.S., they didn't become sexist in Afghanistan. How many years they fight it? How many black has been killed? First of all, democratic-minded people, how many has been killed? But finally, they didn't win. Because our people, they stand up against with empty hands, they fight it against them. But I'm sure if U.S. and its allies, they follow this wrong policy, one day they will face with the resistance of our people. But what was my concrete request tonight? As I said many times, and once again I'm saying democracy in a country like Afghanistan after many years war, it's not easy, we understand to come well soon. But the people, these non-educated people, many times they show that they believe in democracy. And it takes time, it's a prolonged struggle, it's a risky struggle. My request is this, please do not sit silent. Please pressure on your government to stop this wrong policy. Of course, the great people of Ghana also, they can't do nothing. Why? Because the U.S. don't want, U.S. is superpower, and their government also follow this wrong policy. At least they can pressure on them. If they rise, if they join their hands with our people, with especially democratic-minded people of Afghanistan and Iran, this voice can be a powerful voice, especially that they have troops in Afghanistan. As I said earlier, we don't want withdrawal of the troops only. What does it mean? It means that I didn't say now troops must go out from Afghanistan. I said that civil war will end in Afghanistan, but I said we wish that the troops withdraw in Afghanistan, but how? When? In the same time, the Northerners and also fundamentalists, they must be slowly powerless, that instead that day by day they become powerful. And also together with UN, they must pressure on countries like Iran, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, these countries that they have their own puppets, and they had instead they have, because of their dirty policy, they support their, in one hand they are giving arms to Taliban, and another hand support these Northerners. These are the problems and concrete requests that I said. Once again, I'm telling you, we need your moral and material support as much as you can at this moment. It has huge moral value for our people. Today, people are going outside, they do demonstration, my sister. Every day is a bomb suicide is happening. Most of them are non-educated people. But what does it mean? It's a big hope for the future of Afghanistan. The only positive things that during the war in Afghanistan we had positive achievement. It is the fear of the people that how much today these non-educated suffer people, they understood and they know the enemies of their people very well and the friends of their country. And they know about the wrong policies of those countries, first of all US. That today attacked Afghanistan because of its own strategy policy. So my request is this, please let's to make in every part of Afghanistan literacy courses. Let's to make schools like this, that when they get education, they will play their role very well. But some policymakers in Germany, they are saying, we did in Afghanistan when I was in Germany, we built a school like this. But I'm telling you, in one hand is schools, in another hand, security, which is important for the people. Of course, security, not more than education, more than food and water. So this dirty-minded people will be in power. Is there any hope to come changes in the life of people that most of money from international community, even from Canada, through tax, through different way, from these people going to that corrupt wall or drag lord government, to pocket of most of corrupt NGO, why that this money must not go to the pocket of democratic-minded people? Why today democratic parties are not able to publish their magazine? They stopped. Why they receive trace to this? Why there is no one a job for them? Many, many examples like this. Let's join your hands with them. This is my request, my sister, and many, many points like this I have that today, the situation of Afghanistan after 6 years is clear example of the U.S. wrong policy and also the allies of the U.S. that the 6 years they follow the footpath of the U.S. and they must stop if they are really honest for Afghan people.
As a member of parliament, what's your suggestion? The security, as you say, it's really important for Afghanistan. If the international troops doesn't help the Afghan army or the Afghan people, how do you bring the security in that country?
If the international community do not support, they support. Today, why I'm here? That that I raise the voice of our people. Even in the US, the people are saying thank you that you opened our eyes, because the media, unfortunately, they are putting the dust on the eyes of the people. This is my sister, this is struggle, prolonged struggle, risky struggle. Alone we can do nothing. We must raise the voice of our people for freedom against democracy in these countries also, which is very important, the health and health of freedom-loving Democrat people around the world, including in Canada. And slowly, when we do struggle against them, democratic-minded people, slowly, they become powerful. Of course, the security also in the same time they will come. If we will have security, our people with empty hands, they will build their country. As I said, the example of the Russia. I'm not saying that I don't have a kind of concrete request that we say that you do that tonight and tomorrow we will have security. It's not possible, my sister. It takes time.
So we're getting a little bit on. So we're going to limit, I think, the questions to those who are in front of the mics right now, all these four people, and then wind it down for the evening. I'll just also mention we're passing around a sign-up sheet right now, so anyone who's interested in signing up and receiving updates from the Defense Committee from Ally Joya, please include your emails on those sheets. You can also indicate whether you'd like to receive peace events here in Halifax as well.
Concrete request, I hope that my friend, they got that what I said. But first part was about pressure on government, moral support, and also join your hands with democratic-minded people in moral way to support them, and also in material way, as I said, first of all, education and health is the most important keys. I'm not telling you only to support my NGO, which I, since Taliban period, I worked with OPAC and still we are working. Even we lost our project. Why did we lose our project? Today we have to close the door of the orphanage. Is it easy for us? But most of this money going to pocket of food. When you go in Kabul, you are looking at large buildings. Does these buildings solve the problem of the people of Afghanistan? You should ask, belongs to who, these buildings? Expensive guest houses in Kabul belongs to who? Why the journalists are coming in Afghanistan? They do not dare to go to the faraway provinces. But some journalists from CBC kind of news, they are coming in Afghanistan and they are saying to the people of Canada that we did survey in Afghanistan, and just they want to put dust on the eyes of the people. That I'm sure that this kind of survey doesn't happen all over Afghanistan, because the government has no control outside of Kabul. When you ask from the people, what do you think about Karzai's government? In the same time asking you, we have any government? If our people support government, why Taliban hereby they become powerful?
Yes, I'd just like to follow up on the last person that asked a question. That has to do with the role of Canada and the evolution of security in Afghanistan. It appears to me that there's, these are just suggestions, but it seems to me that there's immediately two ways in which Canada can play an instructive role in not only allowing for security for the population in Afghanistan, but also for the growth of democratic means that is generated internally within Afghanistan, that doesn't come from the outside. And I think one is that we need citizens of Canada. What we have to do is we have to ensure that brothers and sisters like Joya are protected, that when she goes back to Afghanistan, that she is not assassinated. And I think that although possibly minimal, what we could do is make her an honorary citizen of Canada. Because just recently we had the Dalai Lama who was made honorary citizen of Canada, supposedly for his efforts to liberate Tibet. The other thing is that I would suggest that in terms of the role of the troops in Canada, and that's one thing that is really raise questions here, but also as the wider population in Canada. And perhaps our role should be changed so that instead of following the lead of the British and the Americans, is that perhaps troops should be out there defending democratic-minded sisters and brothers like Joya. And maybe our troops should, some of the troops should be in Kabul and making sure that they have security. My question is, would this be acceptable to the people of Afghanistan? And secondly, having troops on collecting students so that they can go to school in a secure manner. So that also in helping to work with the police so that they can root out corruption, particularly the World Bank and the corrupt members of the Afghan government. Is that the role that Canada should be playing?
And I'll ask people to the question.
The question which you asked the opinion of the people about the foreign troops, as I said, that day by day our people, they become hopeless from the foreign troops. Including Canada, that we are seeing foreign troops means the US and its allies, other countries also. Why? That at least the 6 years you saw that the special security in Afghanistan under the nose of thousands US and eyes of troops, situation is getting worse and worse, the security. How much important than everything for our people, for every human, not only Afghan people. That's why my suggestion is this for you tonight, that as I said earlier, that please pressure on your government that if really want to be honest for Afghan people, they must act independently, do not follow the wrong policy of the US, and support the democratic-minded people, parties, individuals, NGOs in Afghanistan, that they are able to fight against fundamentalists. Let's try from this.
Good evening. I want to go and deal with something practical that maybe can be done to address, it seems to me, the first major problem that you see in the parliament, which is that it's dominated by warlords, drug lords, terrorists of this ilk. I can recall having read in the Globe and Mail, which is sort of, you know, says that it's Canada's national paper, not exactly a radical paper, it's a fairly conservative newspaper, but I can recall reading in there when the U.S. was supporting the Northern Alliance before 9/11, saying that so-called General Dostum and others like him were certifiable war criminals based on their previous activities. Now, they're getting away with being war criminals in the parliament in Afghanistan right now. Is there something that can be done outside of Afghanistan, like in Canada, plus inside of Afghanistan, to have these warlords brought to trial? I mean, there was a war crime trials or tribunals that went on related to ex-Yugoslavia in prosecuting Milosevic, etc. These people were brought to trial because it seems that the NATO countries thought that this was the proper thing to do. Could pressure be put on the Canadian government and on the Afghanistani government to bring General Dostum and his ilk to trial, like was done in The Hague?
In power just because of its own strategy policies that, as I said during my speech, that during the Cold War they poured billions of dollars in the pockets of these fundamentalists, these normalized that today with the mask of democracy they are in power. They supported them. And once again after 9/11 tragedy, the US brought them back in power. And if U.S. want, for example, how they made Ismail Khan powerless, before Ismail Khan was minister of Herat, that every media, every time they discuss, the government discuss, it's not possible to make Ismail Khan powerless. But before Ismail Khan, but when U.S. want not such a process like a DDR or DIAR, which is symbolic today in Afghanistan, U.S. did powerless this man. If they want, they can do it. Today, for example, in the north of Afghanistan, there is no Taliban. Rashid Dostum has its own government and do not obey the government of Karzai and have a government inside of government, and people hate him. Last day I had an interview with a Canada journalist who himself made a Dostum and had an interview with him. Now they are war-known killers, everyone knows about them. And he said, yeah, I can understand you, that they are which kind of criminals. You can see that website like Afghanistan Justice Project, the Amnesty International website, Human Rights Watch website, that also Rawa website, the women organization website, that how much the crimes they did in the past and still they are doing. Our people, they are asking from the US and from other governments that the blood of these, for example, Pinochet, Mussolini, Khomeini, Hitler, these fascist people, they face to the fore. Why these fundamentalists of Afghanistan, that they are seem like these fascist people, why they to face to the fore, they control Afghanistan? If they want, they can, but which is important, as I said, this is prolonged struggle. We freedom-loving people, we must raise our voice against. And they must listen, this voice that should be a powerful voice. In Canada, in other countries, in the U.S., they raise their voice against this issue. And international, I'm working this 3 years, I'm working in this mission that I want on behalf of our people, together with them, besides with them, that fortunately they didn't leave me alone at this 3 years, and also together with the helping hand of freedom-loving, democratic people around the world, to slowly to face them to the national and international court. That's why I'm here and I clear the mask of these fundamentalists. Maybe most of you didn't understand about the background of these Northern Lights. At least it's enough, some website that I told you can see. And also some books like one book has been written by Katie Gannon, an expert in Afghanistan. The name is I is for Infidel, giving you more information about these fundamentalists. And also another book name is Ghost Wars, which has been written by Steve Cole. And also another book name is Bloody Afghanistan. Bloody Afghanistan, it has been wrote by Sonali and Jim. And many books like this. These also can help you that which kind of criminals they are. And at least the international solidarity. It's not easy for these people who have that much, they become suffer, they are tired, they are hopeless people. That as I said earlier, that they are like sandwiched between two powerful enemies. How they can make the face to the national court, these fundamentalists? Today, for example, I'm in front of you, if I'm alive, because people support it, not this non-democratic government. Today I'm changing their houses. I have to have bodyguard. I hear work, I can't have office, how much it's important. People are bringing documents to me from the crimes of these warlords. They are asking, they are saying that we are not the documents that we committed crimes. This is their disgusting question. That many, as I said, many websites they wrote about their crimes. And even they are asking that give us a medal, award. Give us award because of these crimes that we did. Like today you are looking at the terrorists of yesterday, hero of today for the world. They put that on the eyes of the people like Ahmad Chomasu. And I'm sure the terrorist of today is the hero of the yesterday for the people around the world, but not for the people of Afghanistan. But I'm sure for the people around the world also for a short time, not forever. At least this 6 years is a clear example that today why you people become gather to listen from me, from on behalf of people of Afghanistan. Because day by day you understand about the wrong policies in Afghanistan and also in Iraq. That's why we are saying we need the international solidarity. Moral and material support, and personally also I'm working in this mission. That's why I put my life in risk. And I believe that values like democracy, women rights, human rights are not something that someone gives us. This kind of donate democracy of US is a clear example in Afghanistan. And we must do sacrifices, accept some risk, but helping hand of the freedom loving people around the world is important.
My question, I'm curious. curious about your opinions about the activities, the current activities of international NGOs and UN agencies in Afghanistan. In one of my classes, we've been talking about the creation of this city within a city in Kabul and this incredible, incredible development that is has been made available to an elite few, especially or certainly including international aid workers. So I'm just curious about your opinions about that.
I want to tell you the role of UN in Afghanistan, as you said. Unfortunately, today it's very weak. Why? For example, these fundamentalists in parliament last year, they made amnesty bill, this disgusting bill, a kind of traitor bill that fundamentalists forgive themselves, criminals forgive themselves. And UN announced the opposition against this bill that said this is the right of the victims. They forgive criminals, those who committed crimes or not. But who will listen to this voice? That's why we are saying the international community, they must join their voice with UN together to environment, stop countries like Iran, Pakistan, etc., who make use from this situation, support these criminals in Afghanistan, in this non-democratic corrupt government. And another thing, they must pressure on countries like US and its allies that unfortunately they stop attacking Afghanistan by support of one branch of terrorists like North Alliance against Taliban. They must support the freedom-loving democratic people parties in Afghanistan. This is my concrete request today, that it takes time and I know it's not easy. And our so-called president also signed this disgusting bill, unfortunately.
My question is what the role of religious institutions in Afghanistan is in creating stability or instability. Is there, do you have groups, religious groups that support the work that you do and the kind of work that you do? And is there anyone, is there a Desmond Tutu in Afghanistan?
I want to tell you that most of people of Afghanistan, they are Muslim. And they have Islam in their hearts and their minds, and they don't have problem with Islam and with religious issues. As some people are saying, the problem is with the culture, maybe. No, I'm telling you this, the main problem of our people is with this non-democratic government. That first of all, they use this religious issues, means they use from the clean emotional of our people, they deceive them. And also they use Islam against our people, first of all, against women in our country. The problem is with this. And also three forces in Afghanistan, you said about legislative. Today, three forces, cabinet and also parliament and also this legislative,
Judicial.
Yeah, anyway, three forces today infected with the vices of these fundamentalists. So it is a very prolonged struggle, as I said, very hard struggle, very risky struggle to slowly, slowly make them powerless. That unfortunately today they control Afghanistan and they have high posts. As I told you earlier, they want to face me to the court, which there is no justice. And today the government of Italy giving money for justice in Afghanistan for the court to bring justice in the court. They are working in this mission. And I'm sure that most of money that going under the name of justice, if given to this non-democratic government, of course going in the pockets of these warlords, drug lords and criminals, that most of them they are in power today.
So I guess with that, we're getting on into the evening, so I think we're going to wind things up. I just want to thank everyone for coming out here. Again, our solidarity doesn't end here. Really, our solidarity with people like Malalai has to extend beyond 2009, 2011. So please do sign up on those sheets.
At the end, I want to tell you, not only I want to say thanks for your solidarity, I want to tell you that with your support, you are giving helping hand to democracy and anti-fundamentalist movements in Afghanistan. And I'm well aware about the hardships, risks, challenges. And even as, like many Afghans, that I'm going outside, I'm not sure to be back in our house. Anyway, but I'm so honored that today this voice became the voice of the wisest men and women of Afghanistan, at least some example of some of the crimes that happened in their lives. I told you about the catastrophic situation of the men and women in our country. But if something physically happened with me, please, I'm asking you as your sister, do not let to be silenced this voice. And also, in another hand, I want to finish our meeting tonight with this quote that's saying, they will destroy all of the flowers, but they never can stop their spring. One day, I'm sure we will have democracy, freedom, peace, women's rights, human rights in our beloved Afghanistan. Thank you.
Yes. exciting. I wonder whose it is. Is this yours?
No, I saw it sitting there. No idea what it was.
It's funny, whoever.
I don't know.
It's still recording. It's still
recording. Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry, we found it on the ground.
We're just going to put it back here.
I didn't think it was a hand grenade, so I just left it.
No.
Isn't that funny? It was just no.
Well, should we pause it then, maybe? I'm afraid if I pause it, I might, like, make it hit the self-destruct button.
Put it back down.
Yeah, I saw Pace who told you my stuff on Facebook, but we had a discussion on prostitution, and I think we had one on promiscuity, it's really good.
I had, yeah, I go to the map, so.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow.
We just found it and we're like,
what is this?